flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only, must be physically located in Colorado.
You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Colorado. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And welcome into Early Odds on 670 The Score. I am your host, Jake Hassan. It wasn't a dream. You didn't imagine it. It actually happened. If you listened to the episode last week, that is. And if you did, you heard me on with Joe Ostrowski last week as he closed out last week's episode and announced that he is no longer going to be the full-time host of this show. It is going to be yours truly. And a lot of you, I'm assuming, I'm hoping, heard me on this show filling in for Joe throughout the summer, here and there a few times when he was on vacation. And got a text from Joe last week around this time, or it was around Wednesday, Thursday. And he said, hey, do you want to take over Early Odds? Because it's just too much. I'm doing 7 shows a week. I got to cut one of them. And you do a really good job. Had to throw it in there because it was his show. And that kind of meant a lot to me. But just saying and updating that it is going to be me going forward. It is going to be Jake Hassan filling in. Well, not filling in. It's my show now. Got to stop saying filling in, I guess, because it's going to be me full time. I have you guys every Saturday now going forward on Early Odds. And it's going to be the same. It's not going to be all baseball. It's not going to be all awards because it's football season. And we have already a couple of NFL games under our belt. We got a full Sunday slate tomorrow. And so that's what it's going to be. It's going to be the same thing, guests, analysis, picks, and I'm very excited. And I'm excited to be taking Joe's mantle going forward and taking over this show. So as I said, this is Early Odds, 670 The Score. Jake Hassan with you today and going forward in the weeks for the future. And listen, like I said, we are on the doorstep of a full NFL slate. Week one is here, a couple of games under our belt already. And so that's where I'm going to start. We're going to start today's segment, today's show, because this is the first segment that we're starting the show with, starting today's show with NFL. And we're going to do a bunch of NFL. I'm going to hit some awards, some bets that I've made in a couple of different markets, going to break down a bunch of the games, if not all of the games. And then in the next segment, going to have PJ Glasser join me as he is going to break down his NFL picks and the college slate. And you could follow him, PJ Glasser, at PJ Glasser 9. He's the host of Send It In and Inside the Betting Lines on the BetQL network, where me and Joe also have shows, and you can catch content there every day of the week. So PJ going to join next segment. Huge college football fan, huge NFL fan. He's got a ton of picks and insight for us that he's going to break down. So that's going to be really, really great. And then to close the show, I'll give you some picks for today's college football slate, some bets that I have made. And it wouldn't be a Jake Hassan hosted show if we didn't also do some MLB. So some updates on the rookie of the year markets to close, a conversation a little bit about NL MVP as well with Shohei Ohtani and Francisco Lindor. So that'll be to close. So in case you're just tuning in right now, you're just turning on your radio right now, going to do some NFL off the top, some awards, some week one picks for Sunday. Second segment, going to have PJ Glasser of the BetQL Network join me for college football and NFL breakdown. Then we'll close it out with my college football picks for today and some, a smattering, if you will, of MLB talk, awards, and picks. But, I mean, how great is this? We had a taster with college football. We had a taster with Chiefs and Ravens Thursday night. We had an appetizer on Friday night with Packers and Eagles. But tomorrow we get the full-blown NFL Sunday slate. We are so incredibly back. I mean, just incredibly back. And that's really, really awesome. And listen, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And listen, it's me, so I got to start with some awards for NFL. A couple things that I've bet, a couple things that I have already put in because I feel pretty strongly about these. And I'll start with Offensive Player of the Year. Two bets that I made in this market, the first being on Amon-Ra St. Brown to win Offensive Player of the Year. A range of prices out there, 14, 15, 20 to 1. I bet it at 20 to 1. And the thinking here is that the Lions are expected to be a good team, probably a top two team in the NFC. And Amon-Ra St. Brown has gotten better every single year, starting his rookie year, 9 games started, 17 games played, 90 catches, 912 yards. Second year, played and started 16 games, 2022. Had 106 catches for almost 1,200 yards, 1,161. Last year, had 119 catches for just over 1,500 yards. He was an all-pro. He was a pro bowler. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think, is a guy whose arrow is trending up. It's pointing way up. And I think he's poised to take another leap here. And the reason I got to this assessment, or the reason I got to this conclusion of, okay, I want to bet on Amon-Ra St. Brown, is because the Lions are going to be really good. Jared Goff is a guy who, depending on who you talk to or who you listen to, you may have heard some people say Jared Goff MVP. And I'm not there. I can't quite get there, mostly just because it's Jared Goff. Like, are voters really going to want to give the MVP to Jared Goff? I just don't see it. I think the credit for the Lions having a really awesome season would be likely to go somewhere else. And I think that would go to Amon-Ra St. Brown, who would be awesome and has been awesome. He's been great. And I think he's going to take another leap forward this year. Also, apologies, the touchdown totals, rookie year, 5. His sophomore year in 2022, 6. Went to 10 last year in his all-pro year. And the Lions, in case you haven't heard, I don't know how you haven't, because if you have any conversation about the Lions or listen to any conversation about the Lions, you'll know that most of their games are indoors this year. Not a lot of games being played outdoors in harsh conditions for the Lions. So that portends really well to Jared Goff's success. And again, I just don't think Jared Goff gets the credit for an awesome Lions season. And I think Dan Campbell, yeah, people like him, but I don't think he would get the credit in Coach of the Year voting. So this leads me to Amon-Ra St. Brown, and we see that this award generally goes to running backs or wide receivers. Obviously, we saw last year it was a rock fight between Tyreek Hill and Christian McCaffrey, and we all know how that ended. So I think that Amon-Ra St. Brown is somebody that I'm very interested in at about 20-1. Then I went even further down the board with another longer shot, another wide receiver who I think has been disappointing so far this year in his career, but I think we could finally see it this year because things have changed in his situation, namely the quarterback and the head coach. And I'm talking about Drake London of the Atlanta Falcons, because it feels like he has so much potential. And he's a guy who is just right there, and he has all the talent, and you see the flashes of the talent, but he was just in horrific situations with Desmond Ridder being his quarterback, who Desmond Ridder, by the way, lost a quarterback battle to Clayton Tune, is now unemployed, and just had Arthur Smith as his head coach, a guy who just overthinks it completely. So Drake London, I think, has a lot of potential and could have a real breakout year. And at 50-1 with Kirk Cousins as his quarterback, I think I'm willing to bet on that. And I did bet it. And just so for history's sake and for, you know, housekeeping, Drake London is rookie year 2022. 866 yards on 72 catches, 4 touchdowns. Drake London last year, his age 22 season, 110 targets, 69 nice catches, 905 yards, only 2 touchdowns. Just not good. Just not what you want. And so you might be saying, well, Jake, you talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown. We saw the improvement, obviously. Like, the arrow was very much going up. Drake London, it just hasn't. What are we looking at here? And you look at some of those games, though, in, I mean, even take last year as a microcosm of his year. There were some games where he like really showed up and showed out, because, and a couple of them, like you look at the game in week 6, 12 targets, 9 catches, 125 yards. You see it there. In week 11, not as fancy, but still 5 catches, 91 yards. You look at another game. This is week 13 against Tampa Bay. 10 catches, 172 yards. Like, the talent's there. It's just a matter of, can it be consistent? And I think with somebody like Kirk Cousins, I think the consistency can be there. And I think that, like, Kirk Cousins is somebody, like, look at how he elevated Justin Jefferson. And for a couple of years there, even at the end, Stephon Diggs. And so I think that if you look at that, you see, and I think Justin Jefferson is the main example here. Like, look what Justin Jefferson became with Kirk Cousins. So I think Drake London very much could be the next, not to say, well, I shouldn't say he could be the next Justin Jefferson, because that's a leap in a guy who already has won an Offensive Player of the Year. But, you know, Drake London is bigger even than Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson listed at 6'1", 195. Drake London listed at 6'4", and 215. So he's a big, fast guy. I think Cousins will get him more touchdowns. I think the consistency will be there for the yards. Like, explosion games like that don't happen unless there's some talent there. So I think Drake London has a long shot at 50-1. He's somebody that I have interest in as well. Want to talk about Coach of the Year? Have a couple of bets here as well. I've made a bet on Kevin O'Connell of the Vikings at 20-1. And I know what everybody's thinking. Oh, well, Sam Darnold, and how's that going to work? And you expect them to win games? Listen, I think they only have to win like 9 games with Sam Darnold, because for that exact reason, voters are going to say, well, look, he won 9 games with Sam Darnold and without TJ Hockenson for half the year, and everything that, and Aaron Jones is the running back, and a lot of roster turnover. So I think if the Vikings can get into that 9 win range and Sam Darnold plays decently, like, I think Kevin O'Connell is going to get a lot of that credit, especially because Sam Darnold can't win comeback player of the year. They changed the rules after the whole Joe Flacco fiasco last year, which was really good for some of us that they didn't change the rules before that. But anyway, my point being, Sam Darnold cannot win comeback player of the year because he's not coming back from, quote, missing time on the field due to injury or illness or, you know, et cetera. I'm not going to read the rule verbatim, but you get what I'm saying. You can't come back from sucking or from retiring anymore or just for like, hey, I'm here for six games. I played really well. Give me the award. Can't happen anymore. Has to generally be injury now or illness or et cetera, et cetera. So Sam Darnold can't win because he's not coming back from anything. He's not coming back from anything other than being bad and on the bench for the San Francisco 49ers. So I think Kevin O'Connell would get that credit for having a good Viking season, especially after the J.J. McCarthy injury and people kind of downplaying the Vikings. I did make another bet at 14-1. I think Shane Steichen has some value here. Colts almost went to the playoffs with Gardner Minshew last year. Now Anthony Richardson, healthy and could be a freak, could be awesome. And I think Shane Steichen, if he takes the Colts to 10 wins in a playoff spot, you know, I think that could get him over the hump. He was in the voting last year. So I think Shane Steichen was another one that I had some interest in. And I mentioned him already. Comeback player of the year, mentioned it. Anthony Richardson is coming back from injury. Only played a handful of games last year. Went out with a shoulder injury. Had surgery. Now will be coming back from that. And this is just a dude who's a freak. Like, he's a freak of nature. Made him a high draft pick because he can just do silly things on a football field. And yes, he has to stay healthy and there's some risk to it. And he's like the fourth favorite at 8-9-1. But I mean, for a dude who's 6'4 and 250, like, come on, how are you not at least a little bit interested in that? And we, it's kind of the same thing as Drake London. We saw the flashes with Anthony Richardson. Like, we saw the sets where he looked really, really good and looked like a guy. I mean, you're hearing buzz about Anthony Richardson for MVP this year. Like, if that's the case, if you expect him to play it to that level, then how do you not like him at least a little bit or a lot of bit even for comeback player of the year? I think that's the biggest thing. So Anthony Richardson was another one for me. He stood out for me for comeback player of the year. And then I have a rookie of the year bet as far as defensive rookie of the year. And this one I went a little down the board for because I usually the guys that win this award, you look at Will Richardson last year, you get a lot of sacks, a lot of impact plays, and generally edge rushers or defensive linemen win this award. But I went down the board because I don't love the guys at the top and I don't love the opportunities they're going to have right away. So I have one guy that I bet and another guy that I'm hashtag monitoring. Guy that I bet already is Quinyon Mitchell of the Philadelphia Eagles. He's in the secondary and he's going to play right from the jump. He already played. He played in the game on Friday night, last night, and Vic Fangio said before that game that he's going to play almost every snap, and if he's not on the outside, he's going to be in the slot. And so I think that there's a lot of opportunities there for a lot of impactful plays, even if they're not takeaways, pass breakups, sacks, things of that nature, especially in a Vic Fangio defense. Like, how do you not want to sign on board for that? I think that is something that's really intriguing and really interesting. So Quinyon Mitchell, 15-1, was somebody that I bet already and I think could age really, really well, especially if these guys towards the top of the board aren't all that cracked up, all that what they're cracked up to be. So Quinyon Mitchell, a little bit of a shot there. I also like Chop Robinson. And the only problem I have with him in Miami is that he's currently behind some guys and we'll see how much he plays right from the jump. But he's a guy at linebacker who could get some interceptions, get a bunch of sacks, play on the edge. And those are type of guys who generally win the defensive rookie of the year. And so I like that a little bit too at 17, 18, 19, 20-1 in that range for Chop Robinson. The thing is, though, I'm hashtag monitoring this one because he's not starting from the jump. He's not playing right away. So I think you wait. And I think you wait for an injury or for his play to improve to the point where he is starting and let the price drift a little bit more, and then you bet him. Once it's announced that, hey, Chop Robinson's starting this week, whether it's next week or week three or week four or week five or week 10, I think that you wait and then you bet the best number on Chop Robinson. You don't jump in right now because he's not going to be starting. He's not playing every snap or even the majority of the snaps. So why would you make the bet right now? It doesn't make sense. The number is going to get longer. And he might be starting by week four or five. and then you could jump in at a much, much better number. So I think that's the play. So I'm hashtag monitoring Chop Robinson, but I did bet Quinyon Mitchell of the Philadelphia Eagles because really like the opportunity there as he's going to be playing every day, starting, and in a Vic Fangio defense. I think that is something that's really appealing, at least to me. A couple of bets that I have made for NFL Week 1, and we'll talk about the actual picks here now. So a couple of bets. First one I went for, I'm taking the points with the Panthers. And I know that's gross and it's hold your nose and oh my God, the Panthers, they're terrible. Listen, they can't possibly be as bad as last year. And they added a lot to that roster. They added a lot of offensive linemen. They traded for Deonta Johnson from Pittsburgh. They drafted another receiver in Xavier Legette. So they added a lot of things around Bryce Young to keep him upright and not in panic mode. So I think that is the biggest thing here. I think that Bryce Young having a new coach and Dave Canales will help as well. That could portend to him making a second year jump and having an improved year. And listen, I'm not sold on Bryce Young being a bust. You know, he was really good at Alabama and he was in a bad situation last year. The kid could still get much better. So the biggest thing here is with me taking the points with the Panthers, I'm just not a Saints believer. The law firm of Derek Carr and Dennis Allen is never going to appeal to me. Never, ever, ever, ever. Not in any game. And I think this team could be terrible. I think that they are a look for worst team in the NFL at 25-1, just because I do not believe in this combo. And even if Derek Carr plays the whole game, if he doesn't, honestly, the Saints might be in a better position with Taysom Hill back there. But I don't believe in the Saints team. I think they are set up for failure. I think they're a bad team. So I think the Panthers could win this game outright, but I'm taking them plus the points in this one. And I'm also going to take the Jaguars, catching 3.5, or at least it was right now. And depending on when you're listening to this, it could be on the move as we speak. But Jaguars, 3.5 against Miami. Miami's really dinged up. They have a new defensive coordinator. They have a couple starters, including Jalen Ramsey, already listed on the injury report. Don't know how much they're going to play. Could be a gelling period here. So the Jaguars, I think, getting more than a field goal against a Miami team that might have some issues on defense, I think that's a play as well. I like Trevor Lawrence. I like what the Jaguars are doing. So I'll take them getting more than a field goal. Another one, not for a couple days, but I like the, I really, really like the under in Niners Jets, just because we have no idea what this is going to be on offense for the Jets. Yeah, maybe Breece Hall just runs wild, or maybe Aaron Rodgers is totally fine, but this Niners defense isn't anything to sneeze at. And if it takes a quarter or a half for the Jets to find their groove, then you're probably looking pretty good. And then on the other side, the Niners are just now, or just a couple days ago, welcoming back Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams. And so there's going to be some gelling period as well. And also the Jets defense is really, really good. They have guys who are going to be in defensive player of the year conversations, even though they won't win because they're not, you know, guys who get a bunch of sacks. But Sauce Gardner's awesome. He might be the best corner in the league. So I really like the under here in the Jets and Niners game. I think that's going to be a play. And we'll close this segment out talking about the Bears. Bears are favored by more than a field goal. It's been bouncing around. It was all week long, 3.5, 3, 4, 4.5. And listen, you've probably seen the tweet. You've probably seen people say it. Rookie quarterbacks in their first start are 0-14-1 against the spread in their first start. I love Caleb Williams as much as the next guy. I'm a Bears fan. But giving more than a field goal against a Titans team that has revamped their offense, has added a new head coach, has added Calvin Ridley, Will Levis at times showed real flashes of being a star, I think that that's just too much. So full disclosure, took the 4.5 with the Titans. I hope the Bears win. I think they probably will win, but I'm taking the 4.5 with the Titans because I think that's the smart thing, and I like money more than I like my fandom. And maybe Caleb Williams in this Bears offense clicks immediately, but I just don't think that's going to be the case, and history tells us it's not going to be the case either. Yes, I know Caleb Williams is possibly generational, and I know Hard Knocks boost, and we're all feeling really positive, but I'm more than a field goal just is too much for me. It's too much, and I'm high on the Titans this year as it is. So I'm sorry to everybody if you're punching your radio or turning it off. I'm not saying this is not an anti-Bears thing. This is just a logic thing. This is just a look at the number and admit that it's too much to be laying in your first ever start. I hope the Bears win, but I think 4.5 is too much. So that's my final thought for this segment. Those are some NFL picks, some NFL thoughts for this season and for this week. Can't wait for the NFL to get fully underway. It's going to be a ton of fun. Absolutely can't wait. When we come back after this short break, PJ Glasser going to join me on the other side of the BetQL network. He hosts the show, Send It In, every day, Monday through Friday, from 12 to 12:30 Central Time, 1 to 1:30 Eastern. And he is awesome, an NFL aficionado, a college football aficionado. So when we come back, PJ Glasser joins. He's going to give some college football picks for today. He's going to give some NFL picks of his own for the weekend, for Sunday, Monday, and break it all down for us. So stick around. Quick break. This is Early Odds. Jake Hassan, first show as the official full-time host of this program. But stick around. On the other side, PJ Glasser joins, going to break down the full college and NFL slate. Welcome back in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only, must be physically located in Colorado.
You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Colorado. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Well, we got a minute. I'm going to buy that truck I've been wanting.
Wait, don't you need, like, weeks to shop for a car?
I don't. Carvana makes it super convenient to find exactly what I want.
Hold up. You're buying a car on your phone? Isn't that more of a laptop thing?
You can shop wherever you want.
I like to do my research, read reviews, compare models. Plus, Carvana has thousands of options. How'd you decide on that truck?
Because I like it.
Oh, that is a great reason.
Go to Carvana.com to sell your car the convenient way.
As a Ford owner, there are lots of choices of where to get your vehicle serviced. You could choose to go to their place, the local dealership, your place, home, apartment, or condo, your workplace, even your happy place, like your cottage on the lake. Go to your Ford dealer or choose Ford Pickup and Delivery to have your vehicle picked up, serviced, and brought right back. Or choose mobile service, where a technician will come to you and do routine maintenance right on the spot. Both are complimentary and depend on your location. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit FordService.com for important details and limitations.
To the new era of Early Odds, Jake Hassan here with you. And everybody knows the time it is. We started it with the first segment. We're rolling it right over into the second segment. We got to talk football, baby. We're back. It's time. We had a couple absolute bangers the last couple of nights. So had to get my guy, PJ Glasser, in today to talk about the rest of the slate. Today's college football slate, tomorrow's NFL full slate. We got a teaser. PJ, you know this. We got a teaser. Thursday and Friday night, but now we're about to be fully back. So PJ Glasser, host of Send It In on the BetQL network, follow him at PJ Glasser 9. What's up, buddy? Thanks for coming on.
Jake, thanks for having me. Love the new era of Early Odds with Jake Hassan. This is going to be fun. It's great to have our first full football weekend back. College week two, NFL week one. So I'm ready to get in this games, man. Hopefully we can win some money this week.
That is the goal. It's so great to have the full slate back. So let's start with college, Peach, because there's going to be a couple games starting in just a couple hours that we got to get into. So I'll just ask you this question off the bat. What's the first game for you? Like, what was the first game there? The lines dropped, whether it was, you know, on Monday after week one, or where was the game that you were like, all right, this is what we're jumping on this week. This is wrong. This is what I love.
You know, it's funny you ask that question, Jake, because in a lot of these marquee games, the line has really moved. I think the first one that jumped out to me was probably the Colorado and Nebraska game. And Nebraska was under a touchdown when this line first opened. It was 6.5. We saw it get up to 7.5. It's fallen back down to 7 here. So it feels like right around the touchdown is probably a good number. Jake, I felt like in the Deion era, if you have a competent quarterback, which I think Nebraska does in Dylan Raiola, and you have a defense that can get stops, which Nebraska should be able to do in this game, I think that's the recipe to beat Colorado, right? You think about the games where they had success last season, games that they won. All right, they open up the season against TCU with the great offense, but TCU could not stop Colorado. That's why they were able to win that game. Last year when they played Nebraska, the Huskers didn't have a competent quarterback in Jeff Sims. That's why they won that game. Colorado State, same thing. Defense that really couldn't get stopped. So when Colorado goes against these teams that can score a little bit and also get stops, that's where they tend to struggle. After their week one game against North Dakota State, it looks like it's going to kind of be the same old Colorado this season again. So I like Nebraska -6.5, -7. If you can get them at one of those numbers, I think they're a good bet. And I think they beat Colorado this week.
That makes me feel really good, PJ. I'm not going to lie to you, because all week, you know, our friends on the BetQL Network, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, you know, Nick Costos, they're all like, yeah, Colorado, we're doing this. We're taking the points. We're taking them to win. And the whole time I'm sitting here like, I don't know. I disagree. And I think you are the first person that I've talked to that has been like, yeah, I like Nebraska a little bit too, because this was my thing even leading up to the season, because I figured, you know, that Colorado would go take care of business in their first game. Obviously they'd come out of the gate firing, wanting to prove everyone wrong. And I feel like we've seen this with Matt Rhule. This is what he does every time. Like, it takes a year, maybe two, but after that first year, you really get into it and he's really starts to change things. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like there's something here with Nebraska. And if we could get under 7, you know, I jumped on it already at 7. I'll definitely, if we can get under 7, I'll be there too. I'm with you. I think I like Nebraska in this game as well. Want to keep it in the Big Ten for a second, because I want to ask you, Oregon, you know, everybody in that first game felt like we were hitting the panic button. Like, they might lose this game. And now they open under 3 touchdowns, which feels like, I mean, just to not bury the lead, I'm betting Oregon, you know, under 20, like they're what, 19.5 around there right now. I'm taking that because I feel like Dan Lanning, the coach that he is, he's gonna be like, hey guys, what the bleep? Like, we got to get out here now and prove a point, because we're supposed to be a national title contender and we did not look like one. I feel like Oregon now is going to come out and try to prove a point. I don't know if you agree with that.
I completely agree with you, Jake. It's one of my favorite bets of the week, and it's honestly one of the games I'm most looking forward to on today's slate. Just because Boise right now is favored among the group of 5 teams to make the college football playoff. This is a team that a lot of people think can make it to that 12-team college football playoff. One of the best running backs in all of college football. If you haven't watched him yet, Ashton Jeanty is an absolute monster. All he did, Jake, last week in week one against Georgia Southern was rush for 270 yards and 6 touchdowns. Pretty good.
That's it.
Right? Now, you can do that against Georgia Southern. I don't think you'll be able to do that against Oregon. So that's part of the handicap, right? Boise goes as Jeanty goes. And Oregon, I feel like, is going to be able to take him away, certainly limit him in a certain aspect. And I don't know if Boise's quarterback, Maddox Madsen, is going to be able to make enough plays for Boise not only to hang around in this game, but just keep it within the 3 touchdowns. And then obviously Oregon, a lot of people are down on the Ducks now because of what they did in week one against Idaho. Jake, that was a strange game. Like, the Ducks moved the ball. Gabriel was 41 for 49 passing. Like, he did some really good things. It's just kind of one of those college football games that, like, you look at the box score and you don't understand why Oregon didn't win by 4 touchdowns. So you mentioned it, Dan Lanning. I think after how they performed last week, you know he's going to use all that motivation. Like, oh, you guys think you're this and that. You've been reading all these press clippings about how great you're going to be. I like the Ducks to bounce back this week. Boise's a solid team. This will be a good test for both of them. And yeah, anything under three touchdowns that you can get with the Ducks, I think is a good bet.
What, I feel like we've buried the leader. There's probably people punching their radios right now, or, you know, throwing their phones on the ground. We haven't talked about Michigan or Texas yet. You know, we've been talking for a couple minutes, and I feel like that's the game everyone is, and rightfully so, fixated on. Top 10 matchup, defending national champs, and national title hopeful in Texas. And Michigan catching more than a touchdown now. They're catching 7.5. And there's been some weirdness. It's the report the other day that Sherrone Moore is coaching without a contract, which is very bizarre. But I don't know if you agree with this. I'm not a Texas believer. I feel like this is a team where it feels like it's built on a house of cards. I feel like the second that Quinn Ewers has a bad game or throws a couple interceptions, it's going to be, well, is this the guy? Are we sure we have the right? Should Arch be playing every day? Should he be the starter? And I feel like now with Michigan making their quarterback change now too, it seems like Alex Orji is going to be more in that complimentary Swiss Army knife role again, like they had him in last year. I kind of feel like more than a touchdown might be too much here for Michigan.
Jake, it's an interesting game. I keep going back and forth on the full game spread. The angle that I like is the first half. I think the first half is where you bet this game, both side in total. I like Michigan +3.5 in the first half, and then I like the first half under, getting it at that key number at 21. You might have to shop around to find that number. I look at this game, I think it's going to play out very similar to the way that Clemson and Georgia did, right? Clemson and Michigan, I kind of see as comparable teams this season. Both teams with really good defenses, but trying to search for their offense, especially early on here in the season. And Clemson last week went up against a really good quarterback in Carson Beck, and Michigan this week is going up against a really good quarterback in Quinn Ewers. So I think Michigan being at home, kind of feeding off of that, of the crowd, off the big house, early kick, their defense can keep them in it early. I just don't know if they're going to have the offense to hang with Texas for all four quarters. So I think this is like a 10-7 game going to halftime. Ewers and Sark and Texas go into the locker room. They make adjustments. I think they probably win this game by like 10 points and maybe score a late touchdown. That's what makes me nervous of the 7. But I like Michigan in the first half. I think they can keep this game close in the first 30 minutes. I like them +3.5, and I like that first half under 21 as well.
Hanging out with PJ Glasser, host of Send It In on the BetQL Network. Check him out Monday through Friday at 1:00 Eastern. All right, PJ, wrap it up with college football really fast. What's the one big game? I know we talked about your favorite play, but anything on the night slate, anything later that you're betting or that you have your eye on or are monitoring?
Yeah, so Jake, this one is super late. It's the latest kick of the slate. I'm taking Utah State +28.5 against USC. Not enough is being talked about. I think good spots to fade both Notre Dame today and also USC. Jake, all these two teams have been hearing for the last 5-6 days is how great they are, right? Notre Dame beats Texas A&M. They're getting patted on the back. Everybody's telling them they're already in the playoff. We've already seen it. People, a lot of your listeners know, Marcus Freeman has lost some games, is a big favorite. So I like Northern Illinois today. And kind of the same thing with Utah State, right? USC just had that great win against LSU. Everybody's hyping Miller Moss. USC finally has a defense. This line last week before USC played LSU was like 22.5, 23. Are we really sure there should be like a 6-point adjustment off of one game? So it's a late night kick, but I like Utah State +28.5, and I would take Northern Illinois to keep it within the 4 touchdowns against Notre Dame as well.
Love it. All right, let's transition to the pros, Peach, and we are in Chicago. We're on the air here in Chicago right now. I have to ask you, I mean, what's your angle here? Bears, Titans, and we've seen this line move around a lot. It was 4.5, got down to 3.5. I think we saw some threes pop even for like a half a second before those got jammed at one point. So what are you thinking here? We're sitting at 3.5 again. Caleb Williams, rookie debut at home against Will Levis and the Titans.
I mean, Jake, on Thursday night, you know, we watched the Chiefs and the Ravens, and like we had a pretty good idea of like, but what those teams are going to do this season. The game kind of played out how we pretty much thought it would going to be, the strengths, the weaknesses of both teams. The Bears and the Titans, like, good luck trying to figure out what these teams are, right? I mean, obviously the Bears with Caleb, all the new weapons on offense, the Titans with the new coach, first full year, Will Levis at the helm, bringing some new receivers, new guys on defense. So there's just so much unknown. The fact we're getting a key number here with Tennessee and there's so much love on Chicago, it could only be the Titans for me, +3.5. I know a lot of people out there like Tennessee on the money line, full fade of Chicago. I think the money line might be a good bet. I'm personally just taking the 3.5, though, with Tennessee. I think this game's coming right down to the wire, and I like the Titans plus the points.
Got to keep it to Chicago ties for a second because we got some news a couple days ago about Russell Wilson maybe dealing with a calf injury and not sure about his readiness against the Falcons. We're sitting at 3.5. Falcons are favored at home, obviously. They start their new era with Kirk Cousins and this revamped team and post-Arthur Smith going against Arthur Smith and the Steelers. What are you thinking for this one? Because heard a lot of people thinking that the Falcons are just going to come out hot, but a lot of people also having a lot of faith in Pittsburgh's defense and Mike Tomlin.
Jake, as you know, I'm a Ravens fan. So yes. I know.
Sorry for your loss the other night.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And I know the Steelers pretty well. This is just the ultimate Mike Tomlin game. This is one of those games Atlanta outgains Pittsburgh by 100, 150 yards. They should be up two scores. And then late in the fourth quarter, this is a 20-17 game, and the Steelers are going down the field trying to win it. So the fact we're getting a 3.5 now with Pittsburgh, I think, is a great bet. Jake, the AFC North as a division, I think most would agree, top to bottom is the best division in football. When they go out of conference and they play the NFC, they are normally really, really good. San Francisco last year, second best team in football, third best team in football, right up there with the Ravens and the Chiefs. They went 1-3 against the AFC North. The NFC South division 2 years ago played the AFC North. AFC North went 15-1 against the NFC South. So there's something about these AFC North teams. When they go up out of conference, when they go up against the NFC, they're normally really good. This is just a trust Mike Tomlin spot. He's going to find a way to keep it close. You got that Arthur Smith angle going up against his fourth team. Can't you see him getting the Gatorade bath at the end of the game? The Steelers finding the way to win it. So I like Pittsburgh a lot, especially at 3.5. I think the Steelers are the play.
Let's jump to the primetime games. Let's talk about Sunday night and Monday night. We're both sitting at 4.5. You got the Lions favored over the Rams and the Niners favored over the Jets. What are you thinking for these two games? A lot of intrigue. Obviously, Matt Stafford going back to Detroit after he lost to them in the playoffs last year. And then in the Monday night game, you have the 49ers hosting the Jets and Aaron Rodgers' return.
Two of my favorite bets of the week, and I love both underdogs. I would parlay both dogs on the money line as well. I think the Rams are going to keep this game close at 4.5. There's a lot of Lions love this season, and I'm right at the top of the ship. I think they're winning the North. I think they're going to the Super Bowl. They might even win the Super Bowl this year, but this is going to be a really tough game for them. Jake, both of these games, the sports books are really going to need the underdogs. Every money line parlay at the end of week one, you know, is going to be tied in with the Lions and the 49ers. Everybody taking these favorites. But the Jets, their defense, as we know, is top five caliber. Rodgers is back in the mix. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson. The line has come down. There's a lot of professional money coming in on the Jets. I think they win that game outright. The Rams, I think, have a chance of winning that game as well, but I'd be more confident taking them plus the points against Detroit. We saw in the playoffs last year, this game came right down to the wire. I expect the same thing. You give Sean McVay a full offseason to prep for an opponent. I think this game's going to be close. Both are going to be awesome games. I like both underdogs.
So good to have football back in our lives. Full football weekend. He's PJ Glasser. Follow him at PJ Glasser 9. Check out his show. Send it in on the BetQL Network Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern as my brain just short-circuited there for a second. PJ, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jake.
This is Early Odds with Jake Hassan. That was PJ Glasser. On the other side, going to close it out with my bets for the weekend, NFL and college football, and talk a little bit MLB awards, too, as we get down the stretch here and a couple races really heating up. Stick with us. Short break. Early Odds continues on the other side. All right, welcome back in. Final segment of Early Odds, the new era of Early Odds, if you will, with Jake Hassan here on 670 The Score or on the podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, can also find the show. Appreciate everybody joining today. Thank you to PJ Glasser, the BetQL Network, Send It In, for joining us in the second segment to break down everything college football today, everything NFL tomorrow and Monday. Really appreciate PJ's time breaking down all of his bets and his looks for the college football and the NFL season. But Going to give my picks at the end of the segment on our way out for college football today. I have a couple of them, a smattering, if you will, of bets for today's college slate. But before we do that, I want to do a couple minutes. It has to be done. It's still baseball season. I am Jake Hassan. You know that I'm a big baseball guy. And so I want to go over just a couple of things for a couple of minutes on the awards, because I've been super invested in this. You probably heard about it in the summer when I was going over this. And I want to start with NL Rookie of the Year, because it is still very interesting. You might, you know, go to your app or whatever and see that Jackson Merrill is minus 1,000 favorite for NL Rookie of the Year. And you're like, well, why are we talking about this? Because I think that price is wrong, to be quite honest. And as somebody who has some Jackson Merrill tickets at long prices, I'm very happy that's the price. But I do think that it's wrong, because, and this is for a couple of reasons. We saw Paul Skeens start on, what was that, Tuesday night? Yeah, Tuesday night we saw Paul Skeens start. And it was good. It was five innings, shutout, a handful of Ks. But was it good or was it lucky? And I think the answer is somewhere in between, where it was just good enough to keep him in the race. And as you may have heard me say before, whether it's here or elsewhere, that I don't like pitchers to win this award because they don't rack up wins above replacement quickly enough, as opposed to position players, because they don't play every day. And Paul Skeens was a unicorn. He's really, really awesome. And I think he's going to be the favorite for Cy Young, deservedly so, next season. But I don't think that he has a... Let's put it this way. I don't think he has the second best shot at winning this award. And I don't think that his price should be as short as it currently is, because yes, he was good enough the other night to stay in the race, but I don't think that it's right. And here's why. Because Jackson Churio of the Milwaukee Brewers has been second in the National League, not just rookies, the entire National League, and wins above replacement since June 23rd. That's 2.5 months. Jackson Churio has racked up that much wins above replacement. He's been awesome. He's been absolutely on fire, hitting home runs left and right, playing premier defense in center field, which is a premium position, which gets you some wins above replacement very quickly as well. Jackson Churio has been floating around at 14, 15, 12, 13 to 1. And I think that price is way, way, way wrong, because he's chasing Jackson Merrill by about a half a win in Fangraphs, and he's actually ahead of him in Baseball Reference WAR. So I think that when you look at that, they're much closer than minus 1,400 and 15-1 imply, and Skeens is somewhere in the middle. I think that the three of them all have a shot, but I think the prices are wrong across the board, where Jackson Merrill should not be minus 1,000, minus 1,200, whatever it is, wherever you're looking. I don't think Skeen should be under 10-1, and I don't think Jackson Churio should be longer than 10-1, as long as he is. I think, and I'm not going to pretend to be an odds maker right now, but I think Jackson Churio should be like 5-1. I think Skeen should be in that 10, 11, 12 range. And I think Merrill should be like minus 500. He's in the lead. He's the likely winner. He's the winner if the season ends today. But there's some real competition here, and there's some real, again, competition. This is just a real race right now, and we didn't think that was the case just, what, a month ago when Skeens was minus 1,000? So I really, really think that this is a true race. And if you don't have anything in this market, if you have no bets in NL Rookie of the Year, I think Jackson Churio is your bet, because that price is way wrong. I'm not saying bridge jump on it. I'm not saying put your mortgage on Jackson Churio. But if you have no bets in this market and you have $50, like, I think Jackson Churio is worth a bet. I wouldn't bet Paul Skeens at the price, because I think he's the third most likely to win, and I think that's by a long meter. I think Jackson Merrill is the leader. I think it's Jackson Churio, and then I think it's, like, to quote Moneyball, 50 feet of crap, and then I think it's Paul Skeens. Can still win. Something crazy could happen, but I think he's the third most likely by a mile to win, and I think Jackson Churio and Jackson Merrill are the guys that are going to finish 1-2 in this polling, and we'll see how it goes. Again, Jackson Churio chasing Jackson Merrill by just a sliver, by a hair in Fangraphs WAR, and is ahead of him in Baseball Reference WAR, and the reason I keep referencing this is because generally the guy who has the most wins above replacement at the end of the year, they just win Rookie of the Year.
So if Trujillo continues on this insane pace and Merrill stumbles even a little bit, this is going to tighten up a lot. So again, not saying go put your mortgage on Jackson Trujillo, but if you have no bets in this market as it stands and you got $50 laying around, I think that's worth a bet. And I've hedged with Jackson Trujillo over the last couple of weeks. I've hedged a couple times because I have Jackson Merrill at very long prices. So that's just what I think with that. Now let's switch over to American League really quick. Colton Cowser was a really massive favorite. He was like minus 700. That's starting to come back down to earth. Austin Wells is about 2-1 of the New York Yankees. And that is kind of the same thing as National League, where Austin Wells is chasing Colton Cowser in wins above replacement by Fangraphs by about a half. And he's actually ahead of him by Baseball Reference. And this is what I mean when I say that the prices should be closer when I talk about National League. I think that Jackson Trujillo should be like 2-3-1 while Jackson Merrill is still the heavy favorite. You know, Colton Cowser is about minus 300, depending on where you look again. But I think that Austin Wells is still very much worth a bet at 2-1 because I still think that the price is wrong. I think that these guys are even closer than Trujillo and Merrill. I think way, way, way closer. And I think that in and of itself is worth a bet, especially when you consider Austin Wells plays for the Yankees and you get that New York bump and people always want to vote for the Yankees. So that's a much quicker explanation than the National League, but that is really just how it was because a lot of the National League ideas apply to this race between Colton Cowser and Austin Wells. It also helps that there's only two of them. There isn't a third guy that everybody loves. Like Skeens has that celebrity status where people love him and want to vote for him. Austin Wells and Colton Cowser are just dudes who are good at baseball. There isn't a third specter here who might jump in and throw a no-hitter and make things really interesting. I think that Austin Wells is worth a bet. His price has been coming way down. So I think Cowser is the deserved favorite right now, but I think Austin Wells, his price is wrong. And at longer than 2-1, I think that that's worth a bet. Again, if you don't have anything in this market or you have no bets, or maybe you have Cowser at long prices and you just want to hedge a little bit, I think Austin Wells is definitely worth a little bit as a hedge, as a tiny, tiny portfolio is just a hedge. I think that's worth something. So that's another race that is definitely going to be worth monitoring going forward. Really quick, before we get into the college football bets, National League MVP is getting more and more interesting by the day. Shohei Ohtani, his price is changing rapidly. He was like a minus 2,000 favorite. And now Francisco Lindor has been making things very, very interesting. And it's mostly because he's been first in the National League in wins above replacement for the last couple of months, you know, ahead of only Jackson Trujillo. And he's just trying to will the Mets to a playoff spot. He might score 100 runs and hit 100 RBI while going 30-30 on the season with home runs and stolen bases. And I think Shohei Ohtani having his 50-50 year is definitely going to help him out. But I think that the voters, and I said this on an episode of Early Odds when I was in for Joe earlier in the summer, I think that the voters are going to look for a reason for not to vote for Shohei Ohtani because he's really struggled. I mean, he's still hitting home runs, but the average and the on base haven't really been there. But he hasn't been as good. And yeah, he's going to score over 100 runs and have over 100 RBI, and he's going to get to 50-50 more likely than not. But he doesn't play the field. And I think that there's going to be some voters who look at Francisco Lindor and say, yeah, he deserves it more because also he willed his team to the playoffs. He willed the Mets to the playoffs. And again, that New York bump. So not saying that Lindor has to win, not saying that Lindor is even likely to win, but he's made it very interesting. And if you have nothing in this market, I know I've said that a couple times now, but if you don't, I think Lindor at 4 or 5 to 1 is worth a little bit of a bet here just because Ohtani, I think, is a little vulnerable. If he gets to 50-50, it's going to be much, much harder because voters love when guys make history and we've never seen 50-50 before. But on the off chance that he doesn't get there in this final month, I think Lindor is going to have a real case and I think that's going to be worth something. So that's just the end of the baseball talk. Promise, I'm done. That's it. It's over. Some college football bets for today to close it out. Some things that I am betting, some things that I like. Listen, I'm taking the touchdown with Michigan. And if you get longer than a touchdown, awesome. Davis Warren is starting at quarterback. It's not going to be Alex Orji. And I think that that's something that is very, very appealing to me because Alex Orji, he's very up and down. I like what I saw from Davis Warren last week. For me, I'm not a big Texas believer. I don't think they're as good as advertised. Can they make the playoff? Will they make the playoff? Yeah, maybe. But I just am not sold on them. And I think we're overblowing how bad Michigan is after winning the national championship last year and all the talent that they lost. Obviously, most notably, their quarterback and head coach. But more than a touchdown, I'll take it all day against a Texas team that I am not super high on. This one's gross, but I'm going to lay the points with Rutgers as well. Rutgers, they impressed me a little bit last week. Greg Schiano, if you were watching that game, had a play at the end of the game where he went for the touchdown to get the cover, depending on the number that you got, against Howard, and got it. And that's just interesting to me. That's always something where I'm like, huh, what does he know? So I'll lay it with Rutgers. They go against an Akron team that is in the same tier as that Howard team, and now you're getting 15 fewer points, two touchdowns shorter than Rutgers was laying against Howard. I'll take that. I like Rutgers today. I'm going to lay the points with Utah as well. Cam Rising looked awesome in his return to play last week. Yeah, it was against Southern Utah, but he only had to throw 15 passes and put up a metric ton of points. So Utah's defense also really good. Their defensive line looks nasty at home against Baylor, who's a rival. I'm laying the points with Utah. Really like them. A couple other big favorites that I like. I'm going to lay it with Mizzou and Oregon for different reasons. Mizzou, I think, might just be awesome. I think they just might be a team that maybe wins the SEC. I think they're really, really, really good. After they gave Georgia a scare in the regular season last year, I think they're coming back with a vengeance this year, and it shows after they dropped 51 last week, and then their defense had a shutout on the other side as well. So I'm laying it with Mizzou, and I'm going to lay with Oregon as well. Oregon in a bounce-back spot after they disappointed some people last week. I think Dan Lanning is going to have his guys fired up and ready to go. So I'm going to lay with Oregon in a bounce back spot as well. But that does it. First episode of the new era of early odds. Forgot the show for a second. New era of early odds. First episode, first show in the books. Appreciate everybody who listened and joined live. If you missed anything, go back to the podcast. Talked a bunch of football today. Talked a lot of NFL, a lot of college football. Thanks again to PJ Glasser. Follow him at PJ Glasser 9 on Twitter. Does awesome, awesome work. He's a truly, truly sharp betting mind. Really appreciate him coming on and giving us some takes and some bets as well. But like I said, that does it for this week. I will be back next week on the new era of, again, almost forgot the show name, on the new era of early odds with Jake Hassan on 670 The Score. We'll be back same time, same place next week to react to week two of college football. Week two, right? Yeah. And react to week one of the NFL season and get ready for the week and give some more bets and some more breakdowns. So thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll see you next week. This is Early Odds on 670 The Score. I've been Jake Hassan.
As a Ford owner, there are lots of choices of where to get your vehicle serviced. You could choose to go to their place, the local dealership, your place, home, apartment, or condo, your workplace, even your happy place, like your cottage on the lake. Go to your Ford dealer or choose Ford Pickup and Delivery to have your vehicle picked up, serviced, and brought right back. Or choose mobile service, where a technician will come to you and do routine maintenance right on the spot. Both are complimentary and depend on your location. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit FordService.com for important details and limitations.
Did I hear you're shopping for a car? Because I've been at it for ages. Ugh, such a time suck, right?
Not really. I bought it on Carvana. Super convenient.
Oh, then comes all the financing, research. Am I right?
Well, you can, but I got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, but then all the number crunching and terms, right?
Nope. I saw real numbers as I shopped, found my dream car, and got it in a couple of days.
Wait, like you already have it?
Yep.
Oh.
Go to Carvana.com to finance your car the convenient way.
You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download America's number one sports book.
Must be 21 plus and present in Colorado. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only, must be physically located in Colorado.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.